As the scriptures were being read to you, did you have a deja vu feeling? You may have thought, this passage has been read to us quite recently. And the answer is yes, about 4 weeks ago, I spoke on this parable. But when I was preparing then, I was faced with a dilemma of how to handle the 20 verses. All three gospel writers, that is Matthew, Mark and Luke, that is of the synoptic gospels, record this parable of the sower. And they set out the parable in exactly the same format. You have the story, then you have a small technical explanation of parables, and then you have the meaning of the parable. So what I dealt with 4 weeks ago was the story, and then the meaning, the explanation of the parable. But what I left out was that technical matter concerning parables. And at the time, I was very hesitant as to say whether we would return to it or not. Because as far as I can recall, I don't ever have heard these verses being preached on. I've heard them referred to. And so therefore, I thought, maybe it's a bit of a risk just to come back to these verses. And yet, these verses are featured in the three Gospels, and each time the writer quotes Jesus taking from Isaiah, and it wouldn't go away. It's niggled at me, so the only way to get rid of the niggle is to deal with it. So we're venturing into an area where the human mind cannot fully comprehend God's truth, or at least this mind cannot fully comprehend God's truth. And when we get into situations where things don't quite add up as far as our own logic is concerned, we have to exercise faith, because we have to come to a point where we just, in our limited minds, just cannot fully fathom God's ways. And we might start thinking, well, is this fair? Why has God done it this way? And it's at that point we have to exercise that faith and say, we know God is right, we can trust God in every way, and though I cannot understand, this is what God says, and I then take it as God has given it to us, without trying to question and to unravel the ways of God. Three things I want to say this morning from these verses 10 to 13, this little middle section. First of all, Jesus introduces a different way of teaching. And secondly, a darkened heart. And thirdly, the light is always shining. If you take the second and the third area, a darkened heart, and the light is always shining, you see there is immediately a contrast. There is dark and there is light. And that's the theme that is really running through these chapters. And going back a little further, back into chapter 3, when we considered the whole matter of Jesus' family coming to him, they were on the outside seeking Jesus. And Jesus questioned, who is my mother, who is my brother? They were on the outside. And those who were on the inside were sitting around Jesus, and it's to them that Jesus said, those who do God's will are my brother, my mother, my sister. And so this theme of outside, inside, light, dark, this contrast, we will find is running through these chapters. So, his first area, Jesus introduces a new method of teaching, or a different way of teaching. At the beginning of chapter 4, we find there's a large crowd that's gathered by the lakeside. Jesus climbs into a boat. That's his pulpit. And he addresses the crowd. And we're told that he does so by many parables. But chapter 4 is not the beginning of his public ministry. We go back into chapter 1 and verse 21, we find that he went into the synagogue and he taught there, and many people were amazed by his teaching. In verse 39 of chapter 1, we're told he went through Galilee preaching in their synagogues. In chapter 2, verse 2, many gathered in this house, there was no room. He preached the word to them. Verse 13 of chapter 2. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. There was a large crowd. And he began to teach them. In Matthew and Luke's gospel, we find that they put the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount before they come to this parable of the sower. So, this is not the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. Jesus has already been teaching. But suddenly, he is adopting a new way of teaching. A different method. The question is, why? Why all of a sudden? Well, we find in chapter 3, verse 7, that Jesus came away. He withdrew his presence from those who were opposing him. His purpose was to come to establish the kingdom of God. He'd come to save people. He'd come to rescue people from the kingdom of darkness. Well, once he's rescued the people from the kingdom of darkness, where are these people going to go? Well, they're going to go into the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus came to set up on this earth. The religious establishment was just not interested in this kingdom of God. They just wanted a religion that suited them. A religion that was based upon man. And man who could control himself and invent all sorts of rules and regulations. And Jesus moved away. He realized that in this situation, seeing into the hearts and minds of these religious leaders, he could see that they were no longer interested. Nothing could be done for them. You could describe them as being old Israel, those who just based everything upon their ancestral, where they came from, inheritance. And Jesus was turning to what we could describe as the new Israel. Those who are going to depend upon the faith that Abraham exercised. The old Israel depended on their lineage to Abraham. But the new Israel was depending upon the same demonstration of faith that Abraham displayed when God spoke to him to tell him to leave his land and to go to a new place where he would give a new land, a new people, and a blessing. Having moved away from the religious establishment, Jesus appointed 12 apostles whom he would prepare so that when he went up to ascend to be with his Father in heaven, the work could continue that he began. And it's at this point, in this moving away from those whose hearts were hardened and darkened, who were no longer Jesus could see, that they would not in any way wanted to come to the kingdom of God, that he starts teaching with parables. And he does this with his apostles. In the three Gospels, of Matthew, Mark and Luke, you've got 60 parables or parabolic sayings. They make up one third of Jesus' utterances that are recorded for us. These parables, they're brief, they are plain, And yet they convey a profound message in simple ways. And many of the parables that Jesus taught related to the kingdom of God. Now the disciples noticed this change. Matthew's gospel, he records that the disciples turned to Jesus and said to him, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" And the answer, "To help those to understand, those who want to follow him, and to hide the truth from those who do not wish to accept him." Understanding Jesus and understanding the parables, they go together. And so Jesus is introducing a different way of teaching so that some would understand and some would not understand. And through this method, Jesus was magnifying the division between those on the outside and those on the inside. See, Jesus was not a unifier. He was one who brought division. Division even within families. When some in a family would become insiders and would turn to Jesus and to follow him, that would bring anger from the rest of the family because they were on the outside. And so Jesus said, "I will bring division between father and son, mother and daughter, brother and sister." And so this distinction is underlined in the way that he taught so that outsiders will not understand. And so we have in verse 11 of Mark chapter 4 where we told that to those on the outside, everything is said in parable. Why is that? Why would Jesus teach in a way that would cut some people out? Well, come to our next point, really. A darkened heart. See, we find in verse 11, it says, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God." See, there is a secret involved concerning the truth about the kingdom of God. And those on the outside are kept away from that secret. This secret is available only for those on the inside. And so therefore this secrecy is maintained through the teaching of parables. Now Mark writes that Jesus here is quoting from Isaiah. And the quote taken from Isaiah is that which is given to Isaiah when he is commissioned to be a prophet. Back in chapter 6 of Isaiah, the experience that Isaiah had of being completely blown by the presence of God's holiness. And yet, in his sinful state, he was touched on his lips by a burning coal. And it's as part of this commissioning, being sent out as a prophet, that God speaks to Isaiah and says, "This is what I want you to do. I want you to tell the people so that they will not understand, and make sure that they don't understand." And the quote that we have is in verse 12. It's a particular Hebrew structure of that verse, but what it's driving at is that there are those who are hearing but will not understand. Those who are seeing, who will not perceive. And because they don't understand, and because they don't perceive, their hearts will not be touched, and therefore they will not be turned to trust in God. You've got two levels there. You've got a hearing and a seeing, which are described as the outer faculty, and then you've got an understanding and a perceiving, which is an inner faculty. Again, can you see the contrast, an outer and an inner? Hearing and seeing is outer, understanding, perceiving is inner. If you want to have a hardened, darkened heart, then what do? You plug your ears and you put an eye patch on your eyes. Because if you don't see with your eyes, if you don't hear with your ears, then you will not understand with your heart. And you won't be turned to be healed. Now this turning is an interesting word. They touch the heart and it turns you to be healed. When Jesus began his ministry and John the Baptist just preceded him, what was the message? Repent. What does repent mean? It means to turn. You turn from the way that you're going and you turn in a complete opposite and you put your trust into something else than what you were doing before. And you cannot turn, you cannot repent unless your heart is touched. And your heart cannot be touched if you do not hear and if you do not see and you do not take in that which is being given to you. So Isaiah is faced with this commission that he's to go out and to preach in a way that he knows the people are not going to understand. They're not going to listen to him. And would he be discouraged? Well, how did he respond? He made his message as simple as possible. He didn't water it down. He didn't try to change the message to fit in so that he think people might find it acceptable. It was a message that God had given to him, but he made sure he kept it simple so that people were without excuse. In fact, it was so simple that later on in Isaiah, we find that the accusation is brought against him that you're too simple, you're too elementary. Look, this is so simple, you ought to go and teach this to a nursery school, but not to us as adults. What were these people demonstrating? They were hearing, but not understanding. It was only their outer faculties that were working. It wasn't getting into their inner faculties because they just dismissed the truth that Isaiah was bringing to them as being too simple for them and therefore ought to be given to children. So what is the answer for Isaiah in this situation? Well, those who resist the truth can only be changed by telling them the truth. In other words, you carry on. You don't hold back. You don't try and change your message. The people need to hear the truth because that is the antidote they need to hear. But of course, that exposes the people to a problem. And the problem is this. As they hear again, they are in danger of rejecting God's word again. And the further this rejection goes, you are pushing nearer and nearer to a line which is a point of no return. Their hearts and mind will become irretrievably hardened, darkened. And it's to these darkened hearts that Isaiah was told to go to minister. And he says, look, you've got to turn from your idolatrous ways. We have this great picture that Isaiah paints. You take a piece of wood and you cut it in half. You use half of the wood to burn, to cook your food on, to have heat. And use the other half to go and make an image. And as he puts it, it sounds ludicrous. Out of one piece of wood, you worship one and then you burn the other. But from all that one piece of wood. You've got to turn from that idolatry and you have to turn to God's ways. And if you don't, then God is going to come and judge. And he's going to remove you from the land that was promised to your forefather, Abraham. The very land that was promised, you're not going to be part of it. You're going to be taken away. And that's exactly what happened. So to these darkened hearts, Isaiah's message is given. Now Jesus is applying this same message to the religious leaders who were rejecting his message of the kingdom of God. So we find Isaiah's prophecy, or that message which was given, which is there for us, being fulfilled when the Babylonians came and took the Judea out of their land. And then secondly, in the midst of Jesus, which is being addressed to these religious leaders, that their hearts were so hardened, so darkened, that they were irretrievable. They would not receive the message. And so we see this message fulfilled. We can only ignore God's invitation for so long. God is patient, and he gives plenty of opportunity to obey. But if we carry on rejecting God's word, there comes to a point where our hearts are darkened so much that we have passed that point of no return. You may hear what I'm saying, but your inner faculties are not working. God may be very patient with you. You may be in attendance here week after week after week, and all you're exercising are your outer faculties. Your inner faculties remain untouched. And then you begin to construct in your mind arguments which seem logical to you as to why you should not necessarily go the way that you're being instructed from this pulpit. But the problem is that you are arriving at your ideas without a proper understanding of God's ways. And the reason is because Jesus is not going to reveal the secrets of the kingdom of God to you if you're only exercising your outer faculty. If you're on the outside, that information is being kept from you. And you carry on constructing your thoughts and your arguments, which are going to be wayward and way off beam. You need to hear God's word. Hear it with an understanding. See his ways and perceive his ways so that it touches your heart. And as a result, your heart is turned and you repent of your ways and you turn to Jesus Christ. But the third area, the light is always shining. Until Jesus returns again, the light of his truth is shining all the time. Jesus taught in the synagogue, he taught from a boat, he taught on a mountainside, he taught at any opportunity that he was given. He was not bound by his conditions. And despite the rejection of the Jewish establishment, he continued to teach the apostles and other followers. And the Holy Spirit has continued the teaching of Jesus after Jesus ascended into heaven. And the Holy Spirit used the very apostles that Jesus taught to carry on the teaching of Jesus. And they themselves have passed that on to the next generation. And the Holy Spirit has been with every generation since, right up to the day that we are in. In Jesus' time, the light was just confined to Palestine. And Jesus said to his disciples, "And you will do greater things than me." And the greater things is that the light has now gone in to all parts of the world. Through all the upheavals of the last 20 centuries, we find that the light has been penetrating through all the political systems that have been there. And people have been hearing, and they've been receiving. They've been hearing with the outer faculty and receiving with their inner faculty. We find ourselves in a society that may be different to the one that Isaiah had, but in nature very similar, very intolerant. Many cover their ears, their eyes. They say, well, what you're saying from the Bible is not sympathetic with my viewpoint of life. And who are you to impose those views on me? When we're all equal, everybody can find their way to God. How do we respond to that? Well, we still have to confront our society with the truth. People need to hear the good news of Jesus, God's ways. Even though they remain on the outside and they have no interest in coming on the inside, we still have to confront. We cannot change our message. We cannot water it down. We cannot start to say, how can we adjust to try and make it interesting to them? We just have to confront, as Isaiah did in his day, knowing of the hardness and the darkness of their heart. For Isaiah, it was a disheartening ministry. He knew the people would not turn from their ways. He knew that God would bring judgment upon them. He knew that Babylon would come and invade and they would be taken into exile. But he also knew that God would keep his promise that he made to Abraham. And that that would be a Messiah that would come to be the rescuer, who would defeat the snake. The picture that we have in Isaiah is that of the destruction of the nation as being just a stump that is left of a tree that has been cut down. Now, before Christmas, I cut a tree down. Then spent about a week after Christmas digging the stump out with all its roots. A huge hole and a lot of hard labour. Why did I do that? Well, because I didn't want the tree to regrow. And the picture that we have of this stump is that there are shoots coming up. And this is Isaiah telling us that there's going to be a remnant. Because in God fulfilling his promise is going to be a Messiah, there has to be a continued witness for the line of for which the Messiah was to come. And it's represented in this picture as just being green shoot of a stump of a tree that's been cut down. And for 700 years after Isaiah's prophecies, we have continuous growth of shoots from this stump. And even when after people are taken into exile, there are still green shoots. And some people come back after 70 years of exile back to Jerusalem. Some remain in the Babylon area. Others just go and populate other lands around the Mediterranean. But all the time, there is green shoots. There is a witness maintained. And then after the returned of the exiles, you have Nehemiah. And you read in Nehemiah, there is a spiritual revival. So at times, from this stump, there is seems to be a very heavy growth. Quite a large size of the remnant. And then you come to Malachi, and that seems to have died down again. But there's still a growth. And then 400 years of silence where God does not communicate, where he remains silent. But there's still a growth. And when they bring the baby Jesus to the temple on the eighth day, there is Simeon, there is Anna. The green shoots, those are the maintain that God maintains. Now the light has come with Jesus, and it shines brightly. But for many, they know the light is shining, but they cannot see that light into that light because it is darkened. It is obscured from them. Few deny that Jesus is a true historical figure, but there is little understanding of Jesus, of really who he is. And any view that they have bears no resemblance to reality. But the light continues to shine. And that light continues to shine and will shine until Jesus returns. But you may have a question. And the question is this. If I don't understand a parable, or if there's a passage of scripture that I find difficulty unravelling, does that mean that my heart is hardened? Does it mean that my heart is dark? Well, if you have a look at verse 13 in Mark 4, you'll see that Jesus asks the apostles, don't you understand? The apostles had difficulty in understanding all that Jesus was teaching. And it was only going to be after the resurrection that many things that Jesus taught them, they would only grasp. Then there'd be a significant time lapse between Jesus teaching them and to them understanding what Jesus was saying. When we struggle with scripture, we just have to apply due diligence. We search, we read, we listen to God's word being taught. We may be in an RBT group, in a discussion, and suddenly somebody says something, and that passage, that verse that I've been struggling with for ages, suddenly it comes to light, and it seems so simple then. What has happened? The Holy Spirit has opened his word up to you at that moment. It's become very clear. And Jesus says, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. What do you do with that secret? Well, you put it into practice. The likelihood is that you need to apply it to yourself, what you've understood from God's word. There may be an adjustment you require in your life. There may be some major changes you need to do. Maybe there are some repair work, maybe on relationships, and you've realised that God's word's exposed and now I've got to go and deal with them. And as I begin to live in accordance with God's word, as I began to understand God's word, as the Holy Spirit is revealing that word to me, those on the outside with whom I have contact, there may be family, there may be work colleagues, there may be neighbours, they begin to look at us and they don't get it. In fact, they might start saying, got religion, you know. Because you've been making adjustments. Monday morning comes. They're all talking about what they've done at weekend. And they say, what did you do? Oh, I went to church. Had a great time. Well, that would kill the conversation dead there and then. And they'll just say, something weird about that person. But they're on the outside. They have no idea what you've experienced on the inside. Because the secrets of the kingdom of God have been revealed to you. And that's given you great joy, great peace, a new experience in your life. And that's the fruit that Jesus talks about when he talks about the good seed falling, or the seed falling into good soil. The fruit, the 30, the 60, the 100-fold that is taking place. In this way, the light of Jesus always shines. The religious leaders didn't like it. And many in our society, they are anti the church, anti the Bible. But the light still shines. And we're to take that message out, not watered down, but continue in the light, in the face of all the opposition, because it's the only antidote that people have to be saved and to be rescued from their desperate situation.